Hey, this is Larry Goins. Welcome to the bi-weekly Q&A call. How is everybody doing?
We're doing fine.
Great.
Wonderful.
Excellent, excellent. Well, we got a few people on the line here, and people come and go as the night goes on. So I'll be here and answer as many questions as you guys have. And that's kind of what this is. If you're new to this, we have different people, new people come on every couple of weeks, and just different groups of people depending on who's in town, who's available, and that sort of thing. But it's not a specific training. It is your chance to ask me anything that you want. And so that's why I'm here, and I'll be on as long as you need. You know, sometimes we're done in 15 minutes. Sometimes we're here for, an hour or two. So it just kind of depends on what's going on. But we'll be here as long as it takes. So let's just jump right in. Does anyone have a question that you would like to throw out? Not everybody at once now.
Dave, do you have any questions? Not right now. No.
Well, that's okay. If you think of anything, let us know. I'll be here. And in the meantime, you can listen. If we have any other ones on that have questions, you can listen in. And also just know you guys could call and email anytime in between these calls as well, and I'll be more than happy to answer your question. So with that, does anybody have a question you want to throw out?
Yeah, I have a question, Larry. Looking at some small town tax sales, not real close to me, and I'm just sort of wondering, the idea would be if I could see a house that looked to be like the taxes were like maybe 20-25% of value, pick it up maybe at 50, and then turn around selling it on a note. What you think of that, and what might you do to make that better?
Are you talking about buying some tax lien certificates or tax deeds?
No, tax deeds. Be a
tax
deed. No reinstatement. Just buy it. This is California, so if you buy it, you got it.
Okay, good. So you're thinking you can pick them up for about 50% of value?
Yeah.
Okay, run through a typical type scenario deal so I get an idea as to the numbers.
Okay. Well, I'm looking in Central California, which has been very hard hit because they took the water away.
Right.
And in those areas, the counties, there's a lot of houses that the opening bids are like $10,000 or $15,000 for houses that are worth, $70,000 to $100,000.
Uh-huh.
I have no idea exactly until after this auction what they'll actually go for, but my sense is, there'll be a few bidders, but not on all. There's a lot of houses.
Right.
Maybe 25 or 30 houses.
Okay.
In one county. And so basically I was thinking maybe I could pick it up for 25 or 30 and in order to sell it, quickly sell it on a note for, a little under whatever the value is. If it's worth 80, maybe sell it for 70 or something like that.
Right. Well, one thing to remember about the notes is when you're selling with financing, you can actually sell them for above list. You don't have to sell them below list.
Yeah. How do you tell in a small county? Now, this is an area that has been hard hit with because they took all the water away. I don't know if you're have read that about Central California, but
uh-huh.
All the farmers didn't get the water that they're supposed to have, so all the jobs have, a lot of them have disappeared because there's a fish that they're taking care of in that takes billions of gallons of water for a couple of fish that the EPA is doing.
Oh, my gosh.
Thing. And so there's
wow.
A whole bunch of towns in Central California that would have houses in the $200,000-$300,000 range now if it didn't happen, but now they're way down, like I said, kind of I haven't quite been able to determine values, but let's say 80,000 to 120.
Okay.
And
well, just remember with seller financing you can typically get full retail and then some.
Yeah, but the question is because it is a depressed area only for that one reason, How do you tell whether that's good enough to, you know, that you would be able to get, what kind of value you'd get out of it?
Well, I think...
mean, not exact, but I mean, how do you tell the market area if it's a good market area or not, whether you should even do that or not?
Well, in my opinion, I think the most important part is you said it's a depressed area. So regardless of the price, if you're going to have trouble selling it, you might have to sit on it for 3 to 6 to 12 months. And that's something that you really do not want to do.
Even if it's on a, that's why I was thinking of selling it below market on paper.
Well, if you sell it below market on paper, you know, as long as you know what below market is and how much you can sell it for, then I don't see any problem with that, as long as you know that you there's a market for it at some particular price.
All right,
so
to determine that market then, would you, like, go to talk to real estate people and see how long it's taken to sell houses? Is that what you would kind of get a general sense of doing?
I would talk to several real estate people, especially in a depressed area like that. I would find out from several, you know, what is the you know, what will the market bear here? You know, say, here's what I'm thinking about doing. You know, there's some houses over on the, you know, Lower East Side or whatever, you know, and, you know, I'm thinking about seller financing them. You know, do you think that would be a good area and a good market to seller finance properties in? And, you know, what kind of price range do you think I could get for them? By the way, do you have any buyers that you know, maybe call about properties in this area, and maybe they have $5,000 or $10,000 or $15,000 to put down, and they're willing to, you know, put the money down, and, you know, and I'd be willing to finance it for them. In fact, you could tell the realtor, hey, you know, and if you sell it, I'll be glad to pay you 3% commission. You know, if you sell it for $80,000, that's $2,400.
Okay, right.
Yeah, so I always ask the realtor, too, if they have any buyers in this area at this price range, you know, and ask them what they could sell it for.
Okay, and then what about the value of the note? Again, the depressed areas, how would you value? Obviously, you'd probably have to value that note or expect to take longer to sell it, correct?
It could. It really ultimately, though, depends on who are you selling that note to. That if you're selling it to a private individual, you know, that they might buy it right away. If you're selling it to an institution, they might want 6 months worth of seasoning and a credit report and an appraisal.
I gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
But just to give you an idea, just give me a sample of what you would sell it for, or an example of what you would sell it for and how much you would get down.
Well, I was thinking of the low down, maybe 5,000, where I'd still have, say, 20, 25 in it.
Okay, so 5,000 now. What would the sale price be?
Call it 75.
So you're going to finance 70,000, right?
Yeah.
70,000 at 9% for 20 years would be a payment of $629.81. Is that reasonable for that area in that market?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's say if you had to discount that note down to a 10% yield, you're going to get $65,263 for it. If you discounted it to a 12% yield, you would get $57,000. If you discounted it to a 15% yield, you would get $47,829.07.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're in it for, what would you say, 30?
Yes.
In it for 30, you get 5 down, you're in it for 25, and you sell it for 47, let's just say after closing costs, 45, so you made $20,000 on the deal.
Yeah, that's just the picture I'm looking for.
That's good. Just make sure the houses are livable or very close to livable.
Right.
So that way, your buyer could not squawk about, you know, I've got to go in here and do all this work.
Right, right. Okay. Another question along right with the same area is there were several listed that had an IRS lien on it, which I know that the IRS can come in for 120 days and do something. What is your sense of, would you just leave those alone, or would you say, if I'm willing to wait the 120 days, is that, I'm just thinking it'd be a whole lot less competition on those.
Yeah, there might be, but what I would do is I would make sure, if I had not done them before, like if I were in your situation and I was going into that area and I had not done them before, I would ask around several realtors that have worked with them, several other note of those tax deed buyers that have worked with it, and then, you know, and even maybe a local attorney that's dealt with it. Ask them what their opinion is as to whether or not what percent probability is it that the IRS is going to actually go after this.
Well, it has been almost zilch.
Uh-huh.
You know, pretty much they don't go after any of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, if you've already done that research, then I wouldn't have a problem with it.
Yeah, because it's not the most current research, but it is research that over the past that they haven't. They don't do anything with it, so.
Yeah, but I would do a little bit of research, you know, currently, just to make sure.
Yeah.
Good.
That makes sense. Okay.
Good. Did that help?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Another question is, ask anybody else if they have a question.
Okay, sure. Hey, anybody else have a question you want to jump in with? All right, it's all yours.
Okay. Let's. We've talked about that selling online. Can you give me your current sense of where the best places to sell online? And like I remember when you taught us about setting up a bidding for the deposit. Is that still working for you? Some of those kinds of questions on eBay.
Yeah. And I was doing a lot of that. But let me tell you how we're primarily selling our finance deals now. We're putting out signs all over on whatever side of town the property is on.
Yeah.
And the signs are basically just a yellow sign that has black letters that say owner financing. And the sign also has our phone number. And then what we do is we write in the number of bedrooms and the number of baths and anything about the house. For example, we have one right now that we went out and put out about 25 signs, and that's what I want to tell you. I would put, if I were you, I would put out about 20 to 30 signs of these signs around the house. The house, the neighborhood on that side of town, all that. And they would say owner financing, the phone number, and we write in, like, for example, we just got a deal. It was a 4-bedroom, 3-bath, on 2 acres of land, and it was 2,240 square feet. So we hand wrote 4-bed/3-bath, and then we wrote 2 acres, and we wrote 2,240 SQFT. And man, the phone has rang off the hook. And that's a double wide that we bought for $35,000.
Uh-huh.
And we could sell it for, you know, I mean, our plan is to sell it for $79,900. And get, you know, $10,000-$15,000 down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you sell that house, or is it still up?
Well, that's a whole nother story. I could have sold that house several times, but as it turns out, my daughter's going to be moving into it. It's on two acres. It's on 2 acres of land, and she loves horses, so she'll be able to build a barn and a turnout. You know, whatever you call that, a little riding ring, turnout thing. You know, she rides and shows and stuff. So
yeah, but you got a number of calls for people.
So my wife told me I couldn't sell that house.
Yeah, gotcha. You got to do what you got to do. Gotcha, yeah.
I know, right? But I could have sold that house 3 or 4 times.
Okay, so you're not doing so much selling online, more using the signs to do
that's
it.
That's right, that's right. Now, we do, don't get me wrong, we still run our Craigslist ads, our Trulia ads, we put it on Zillow if we can, you know, but Zillow only allows you one ad per address. But we still do some online marketing, but we haven't sold any on eBay in a good while.
Yeah. And is there a reason for that? You just found it didn't get any takers?
Well, we did get takers, but I prefer eBay on the small houses that are really, really cheap. But when you're dealing with a little bit higher numbers and you want to get $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 down, it's better to just sell it locally through the signs and the ads and that sort of thing.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that's just kind of what we've experienced.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cool. Does that help?
That helped. I got another question, too. All right, this time I decided to sit down and think of some questions before.
Oh, yeah, that's good. I'm glad you did.
Again, I live in California, and I live in an area that was pretty hard hit in the last recession. Houses, the average house was probably, at the time, $300,000 when it hit in 07, and they dropped all the way down to, like, $50,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
$300,000 down to $50,000?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Yep.
That's
so
crazy.
A few years ago, I was helping people buy houses at foreclosure sales. They were just stealing the things, you know.
Yeah, really.
For California houses. Now, the market has recovered as far as to some degree, but there's still a lot of houses that are underwater, still a lot of houses right at, you know, in other words, they really can't sell them because there's no equity.
Right.
And that sort of a thing. So I'm wondering, and that's local versus the tax sale ones were further away.
Uh-huh.
This is about 100 miles from Los Angeles, so it still gets lots of people, so tax sales don't work too good out here, too many
right.
people. But there is a lot of houses like that, and I have a foreclosure service that I subscribe to kind of see what's, you know, what's going to sale, but it's kind of, it's sort of been hard for me to pull the trigger, you know, on what to buy and so forth like that. So just your ideas of what might you do in an area where houses are still, we still haven't recovered from 2007.
Well, first thing I want to say is don't get paralysis of analysis. But the second thing I want to say
is
pick up the phone and call a couple of realtors and get a feel for the market there, get a feel for what's happening. You know, if they went all the way down to 50, but now they're back at, you know, 100, then, you know, I mean, that's
well,
where
they're
it
back,
is.
They're back to, if they were 300, they're back to 200.
Okay, I'm with you.
Yeah.
Well, even still, you know, there's a market there, and there will be some deals that you could pick up for, say, 150, 175, and wholesale them or something. And, you know, there's still a market there. You can make money in any kind of market. I'm just a firm believer in going where it's easier. You know what I mean? Or easiest, I should say.
Yeah.
Not that
wherever
it may not
be where
easy
you are
there.
Too, you know?
Yeah. But yeah, to get a feel for that market, I would definitely call several agents and talk to them and get a feel for what's really going on in the marketplace
Okay. Before
you start pulling the trigger on something. But once you do get a feel for that marketplace, there's nothing wrong with going ahead and pulling the trigger.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Okay.
Good.
And how would you approach owners, or what would you do? You probably put out signs. I don't know if signs will last because, you know, California's not real good at that.
Well, you know, you can put out signs. You can do signs. You can do direct mail. You can do MLS. I mean, there's all different kind of things you can do.
Yeah.
You know, there's many different ways to find deals. For example, of all the deals we got on the board right now, I've got some HUD, I've got some MLS, I've got a couple of deals that came from Bandit Signs, I've got some that came from Craigslist, and I think that's probably about it.
Have you ever worked foreclosure services, kept stuff where, you know, you get exactly how much they're behind and first, second, third, and all that?
No, I don't like those, only because those are short sales. and I don't do short sales very well.
Yeah, no, not short sales. These are foreclosure notices. They're going to go to sale. So you have pretty motivated sellers.
So what you're saying is there are properties that are in foreclosures.
Correct.
In foreclosure.
Yeah, and the service tells you what day it was filed, when it's going to go to sale, how much the opening bid's going to be, and that sort of thing.
So what you're saying is not deal with the homeowner to try to do a short sale, but to buy it at the courthouse steps.
Well, I was thinking of that takes a lot of cash, and that's that. No, I was thinking of talking to the owners themselves or finding, you know,
right.
Talking
well, then,
to the owners.
Well, then that would typically be a short sale, though, wouldn't it? If the owners are in default, they would try to get a short sale to get a lower payoff so you could get a better deal on the property, right?
No, I don't think so. It's just, let's say it's got, it's, you know, it's a $200,000 value and has a, you know, maybe 150 with the back payments, 150,000. So you have to put up 10,000 bucks to, they're going to lose the house and they owe 150 and it's worth 200.
Right.
So I'm hoping that with, I can give them a few thousand bucks to walk and then I have to turn around and market that 150 house for something higher than that, obviously.
Right, and that's fine. You could do that, and that is good. That is a way to do it, and you can definitely do that. I just wouldn't give them the $3,000 up front until you knew if you were going to close
the
deal.
Oh, no, yeah, you don't give me anything up front, no.
Right, okay,
it's got to be in a, yeah. It's got to be in a little escrow.
But then you got to go to work to market those properties, and yeah, it
yeah,
is
right
a little,
away, exactly. Yeah.
It is a little bit different for you in a market where, you know, the median prices are 150, 250, 350. You know, one of the things that we've found here in the Carolinas, it's much easier for us to sell a house if we can sell it for cash for $50,000 or less.
Yeah. You guys have a dream situation there, California. This is the cheapest place about you can buy in California. You know.
Yeah.
You go over 45, 50 miles over, and houses are 500, 600 thousand.
But now I also know guys that are buying in Orange County.
Yeah.
They're buying in San Diego, and they're doing direct mail. But when they do a deal, they make $50,000 on the deal. You know, they'll pick it up for $350 and sell it for $400. And
are they paying you $350 cash? Is that what they're doing?
Well, they're doing assignments. They're doing, you know, a lot of different things, either transaction funding or assignments or, you know, doing simultaneous closings, you know, setting up a trust, setting up an LLC and selling the shares, just any way they can do it so they don't have to come up with the money. But you can do a lot of direct mail when you're making $50,000 a pop.
Yeah, and that's pretty much you have to make that go over there. Yeah,
that's true. But I know some guys that are doing it on a consistent basis, and they're just a sales organization. You know,
yeah.
I mean, they're spending $50,000 to $100,000 a month on direct mail.
Wow.
But they're churning out, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 deals a month.
Yeah, see, what I'm looking, trying to do, you know, just a deal or two, you know, kind of a thing, instead of a big,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
you're
just
more
get one
machine
under your belt and then go from there.
Yeah, exactly.
That's good. But yeah, I mean, you could start right where you are, or you can start in, you know, in another territory, another area if you want to, if you feel comfortable.
Yeah, and I'd feel comfortable with starting in another area if I felt there was a place where we could do, you know, the Filthy Riches model in the notebook, you know,
uh-huh.
Where you could, you know, I just think those are pretty much dried up, it seems.
Well, we're still doing the Filthy Riches model, but we're doing a little twist to it. We're buying mostly stuff that we're paying 20, 25, 30, 35 for it. And instead of getting $1,000 down, we're getting 5 down, 10, 15 down.
Uh-huh.
The numbers
but
are
you're
still
not putting
similar
up the 20. You're finding, you're basically doing assignments then?
No, what we're doing is we're buying them for, say, a typical deal might be we buy it for 30,
mm-hmm.
we sell it for 69.9, and we get five down, so we finance 65.
So you're putting up the 30,000.
Well, there's one of two things: you can put up the 30 grand and keep it, or you can have your note buyers lined up to where you have that $65,000 note sold for, say, $50,000, and if you've got 25 in that deal, you know, you paid 30, you get 5 down, you got 25 in it, and you
yeah.
sold that note for 50, you made 25 grand on the deal, and you never touched it.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's that. You see a lot of that, probably a lot of that in the Carolinas and out on the East Coast and anywhere on the West Coast.
A lot of it. I do a lot of double wides like that.
Yeah. Have you done double wides out on the West Coast?
Not on the West Coast, no. I'm primarily doing most of my deals in the Carolinas.
Yeah.
But now, I've done deals in other states, but as far as focus, I mean, like, just to give you an example, right now, I don't know, I've probably got 6 or 7 deals in North Carolina. I've got about 4 or 5 deals in South Carolina. I've got 2 in Alabama and 1 in Tennessee right now. That's what's on our board right now.
Right.
So, and the Tennessee, we're closing it tomorrow, I believe. And it's a wholesale deal. We bought it for 8. We're selling it for 16. And we got a house up in Rocky Mount, North Carolina. We paid $7,000 for it. And we just sold it today for $39,900 and got $2,000 down.
That's great.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
Yeah.
So, you know, we could keep that or we could sell it. And, you know, we got another deal that we paid $16,000 for it. We were selling it for $39,900 with owner financing, but the lady was going to put $15,000 down, and, hey, I'd have $1,000 in it. But she had some more money, so we decided just to wholesale it to her and give her a discount. So she's paying us, I think, $25,000 or $26,000
for it.
Sure. You know.
Larry, the double wides seem to be a different animal on the East Coast than the West Coast. Have you know what I mean by that? The double wides that I see out here, I'm talking about the Western states. I've also lived in the South, so I understand that they just have a different way of looking at them. You don't seem to find, you know, they get big dollars they get almost the price of a house out here.
Right.
And,
well, you also have a lot of them out there that are in parks on rented lots.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, do you have any formulas for that? There's lots of that where I am.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of that, but I'm not opposed to it as long as the numbers work and you can factor in the lot rent.
Yeah. So the values for mobile homes have gone so far down in a park. It's ridiculous, you know. Like, it's, you know, 5 years ago you could have paid $30,000, and now they're maybe worth $10,000.
Well, I mean, think about it. But if the lot rent is, you know, $300 a month.
Yeah, but you can't rent them out. You know, that's the big deal out here.
Well, no, you don't need to rent it out. You're selling it with seller financing, so you're just the bank.
Yeah.
As long as the numbers work.
Yeah.
Where the person can pay their lot rent. And they can pay the lot rent, and they can pay your payment. You're in good shape.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Good. Cool. Well, let me check and make sure anybody has any questions. Anybody have any questions you want to throw out? Anybody got any questions?
Okay, buying homes off of the NLS. What how do you handle the contract? Where I live, the standard regional contract is non-assignable. Now, it's possible, of course,
right
through the language. Most agents up here don't like that.
Yeah, we don't do that either.
So how do you do it? What contract do you present, or how do you present it so that it works for you if you're wholesaling it, that it works for the end buyer and yet can kind of still pull the property off the MLS?
Is your basic question saying how do you do it without any money?
No, not necessarily. But
oh, okay.
It's more sort of what does the contract say? How do you structure the contract so that it is assignable, or do you put it in the name of an LLC and then you sell the LLC?
Yeah. Well, you don't have to do that if you have the money to work with. That's why I was asking you that question.
Okay.
If you have the money to work with, you can just fund the deal yourself. You know,
sure.
if you're buying it for 50 and you're wholesaling it for 60, you get it under contract in your LLC, and then you go to closing, you put up the 50, and then they come to table with the 60 minus the closing cost, you get the balance. If you don't have the money to work with, then what you could do is you could create a new LLC that's specific for that property and then sell 100% of the shares. And that's the way you would do that. Or you could also buy it in the name of a trust, like 125 Oak Street Trust, and then you would change the beneficiary to your buyer, and it would be one transaction, and then the attorney or title company would use your buyer's money to close on the deal.
Okay.
Or you could use transactional funding to do the deal, or it's possible you could find an attorney or title company that would do what's called a simultaneous closing, and they would allow you to use your buyer's money to pay the seller, which may be a bank or HUD or something like that. So, you know, those are several different ways that we do it, but we always use the realtor's paperwork, and we let the realtor fill out the contract. And we don't ever put and/or assigns on it because we know they're not going to let us assign it anyway.
Right.
So, yeah. Did that answer your question?
Very much so. Yeah. One, I guess, related question to that.
Sure.
Do you even indicate to the realtor that you may be selling the
no.
LLC? Okay.
No.
So
you're
going through
the process. We don't tell them any of that. You know, we don't. You know, you don't want to go into the deal. You know, hey, I'm buying this property, but I'm going to have it sold before I close on it, and we're going to close on the same day. No, I wouldn't really do that.
So it's just as if I were buying it, and then
exactly.
Okay. That answers my question.
Yeah, and then you just start marketing it. But as long as you just don't use the address. If it's an MLS property, just don't use the address, but you can start marketing it right away.
Okay.
Awesome. Cool. I hope that helped.
Yeah. Let me throw sort of a related question in there. Typically, I don't know, the realtor's paperwork, the standard regional contract, whatever that is, has all sorts of time frames, and you do this by such and so date and stuff like that. Do you ever get any resistance from the investor, the person you're wholesaling it to, saying, look, you know, I just want to buy it. I, you know, don't want to go through all these different steps that are required by the regional contract?
What do you mean? Like, what kind of steps, for example?
Oh, well, some of them may not be applicable, such as, you know, if you're getting financing, you are required to apply for mortgage within, let's say, 7 days.
Yeah, yeah, that's not applicable.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, what kind are you talking about that is applicable?
Probably not much, then. I mean, if it's going to be purchased as an all-cash sale, most of the requirements are on the seller.
Well, see, your buyer has nothing to do with your contract with the seller anyway, because you're buying it from your seller through the one contract, and then you're selling it to your buyer with your own contract. So it's two separate contracts.
Okay. Yeah.
Unless you were assigning it, and with working with an MLS property, you are not assigning it. So it would be two separate contracts.
Okay. Yeah, it's just taking me a little bit of effort to wrap my mind about that.
Yeah, yeah, that's okay. Yeah, it can take a little bit of time, but that's good. I think you got it.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Good. Oh, you're very welcome. Anybody else have a question?
Larry, I just wanted to ask you, this is Sheila. Hi, I'm still working on that.
Oh, I know it's
deal.
You. I recognize your voice. How you doing?
Which is just about to kill me. You know, under the stress level. And, you know, I did have to leave the country for a while. So I'm back and in commission
wow.
again, but circulation again. But
good.
In the meantime, I inspection done, and you know, just dealing with it, I guess. But now it's just a matter of, are we going to wholesale it or do the little fix up work, which we were told by two people we should just add a little money to fix it up and then sell it retail. But
well,
so
I'm never a big fan of, you know, putting it on the retail market, on the MLS, and doing a 6-month listing and all that. I'm not a big fan of that, but you know, but hey, if you can just put a little bit into it and turn it quick, you know, it's not a bad thing. The good news is, it sounds like you have options.
Yes, and was it okay to discuss that with the realtor? Because you know, she was giving us some options of what, you know, if we rented it out, the amount of money we could collect monthly, or if we just sold it, which she was saying she did that to a home and was sold it in a day. But, you know, then after today and talking to the inspector, which we need to talk to a contractor more, I guess it's a little bit more than what we anticipated as far as possibly fixing it up.
Right, right. Well, yeah, I would just take a look at the situation and say, okay, if we wholesaled it as is, we could make X. If we did a little bit of work and seller financed it, we could make X. Or you could sell the note, you know. Or you could rent it out, or like the realtor said, you could do a little fix up and then retail the property. You know, put it back on the market and retail it. So I would just kind of run the numbers and look at it, all those different scenarios.
Okay. And you know, she's, I don't know, this would be a first and last time I'd probably want to deal with her, but I guess it is what it is now since we've gone this far with it. But,
right.
you know, just looking at HUD contract, which I'll be calling her tomorrow, but we still don't know what a closing date. Are we going to miss the expiration date of what she was supposed to have done on her end to let us know? We did sign some extension paperwork in case
it went past
the 30-day. But, you know, with this being our first time, I'm not aware of what's all required, because from the start, she was late in passing, handing in the paperwork. But
that was a HUD deal too, right?
Yes,
But you did get it under contract, right?
Yes, And I think it was just a matter, she didn't say, she said it was one person that she was waiting to talk to that was on vacation, but I think what she did, she just kept resubmitting the offer again until she got them to accept it.
Okay.
But
so she got out of hot water there, didn't she?
Yes. But now she's just coming to terms, and I keep being reminded of your filthy rich. But I told Richard, I said, you know, this house is even uglier than the one that Larry was talking about in his filthy rich webinar. Just, and so they're just saying, well, cosmetics and everything, that it'll probably help it out. Its interior is just a wonderful house. But it's just the exterior. It looks like a barnyard, a barn or something. But
wow,
all wood.
Uh huh. Wow. Well, it sounds like you got some options on this one.
Yeah, my last and what I wanted to do first was just drop out of the deal. But I'm determined, you know, if I get through this, then I guess maybe the second one won't be as
stressful,
maybe.
That's good. That's good. Yeah, you gotta get past that first one.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's the worst looking house on the neighborhood, in the neighborhood, but the neighborhood is a real nice, well manicured area, and
oh really?
So, they said it just needs some paint and something. But and Richard said, I don't know if paint will help it. But
he's not too thrilled about it, is he?
He is. He is. He made that statement before he thought about what he said to me. But yeah, they said if I planted some more bushes or something, that would help.
Oh, good.
From the outside. Because the inside is, it's no issue. It's just that exterior with the paint and some more landscaping.
Right,
basically.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And well, that's good.
Like a 21,000 square foot home, and it's a contemporary home.
2,100.
Mhm.
Yeah.
Well,
that sounds pretty nice.
Yeah, 2,000. Yeah, 2,100. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, a large front yard and a large backyard.
Mhm.
It's just an ugly house.
Well, let me know if you need any help with that. I'd be glad to take a look at any of it, okay?
Okay, all right.
I'll be glad to.
Okay.
You just let me know.
Okay, all right. I'll probably shoot you the information then through the email.
Okay, yeah, just do that. I'll be glad to.
Okay.
Good.
That's all I have.
Oh, well, good. Well, let me know if you need any more help with that deal.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Good. Mm-hmm. All right, cool. Anybody else have a question?
I got another question, Larry, if nobody else does.
Sure.
Do you know... Are there people who just work on just buying mobile homes on land, and are there any of those west of the Mississippi River by any chance? That's the first question.
Say that again.
That just look at mobiles instead of looking at houses. Trying to find a niche of something where it's not as crowded.
Yeah, there are people that do that.
Okay, how about on, like, say, west of the Mississippi, or just back where you are?
Well, I mean, there's money to be made just about anywhere. And so I wouldn't be too concerned about, you know, trying to find a niche that not many people are working. You know, I mean, yeah, it's always good to try to fish in the, you know, in the most remote spots, but still, there's deals to be had everywhere, and I wouldn't get too hung up on, research and not go out and actually do some deals. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does make sense to do deals, but I'm sort of, the way I'm looking at it, I've got enough funds to do one deal, so it's like it's harder to pull the trigger.
So here's what you need to do. You need to find a deal you can turn quick, not that you're going to finance. So, in other words, not that you're going to finance and keep the note. If you have no buyers lined up, or you know where you can sell the note, then that's fine to do. Yeah, then that's fine to do a seller finance deal. But if not, then you're probably going to want to wholesale.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. The second question related just to mobiles. When I have tried to go to various sites and type in, you know, looking for mobile homes, trying to separate out them from regular houses, they don't seem to list them as mobile homes.
And on Realtor.com, when you're doing your search criteria,
yeah,
you can select single family, mobile home, condos, townhouses, ranches and farms,
okay,
and lots and land.
I might have just not done it on Realtor. Okay, I tried Zillow and...
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure you can do it on Zillow also, but I could be wrong about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's all I got for now.
Okay, cool. Good. I hope that helped. Anybody else have a question? All right, going once. Going twice. That's it. Wow. Well, guys, I really appreciate your business. I appreciate you being on here. I appreciate these great questions. These are really good questions. It means you guys are thinking. You're out there working it. Just remember, please don't get paralysis of analysis. And if you have any questions about anything, don't be afraid to pull the trigger. But just call me, email me. I'll be here and I'll answer any question you have. I'll be glad to look at a deal. I mean, don't just send me a link and say, what do you think about this? Say, here's a property I'm negotiating. Here's the rents. Here's this. Here's that. ARV, amount of repairs. Here's what I'm thinking about bidding. You know, what are your thoughts about that? And I'll be more than happy to do it. And I am here for you, and I'll answer any questions that I absolutely can and help you in any way I can. So with that, I really appreciate your business, appreciate you guys being on here, and I hope you guys all have a great night. Thanks a lot, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.